is God in the flesh. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And so when Christ came, he lived the life that he did. He revealed the Father. Hebrews says, and you remember this, in Hebrews chapter 1, the Bible says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be a father, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And then verse 8, he says, But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. When Christ came, he came to manifest to us who God is. He came to reveal to humanity who God is. This is the nature of God. Before we had heard it, we had revelation, we'd had divine inspiration, we'd had the prophet speaking this about God and that about God, and we kind of had to piece things together with a puzzle, but now he's on the scene. Now he's come and he's revealed himself, and everything we see in Jesus shows us who God is. Do you understand that? You know, it's not that there's this old angry God in the Old Testament, and then Jesus comes and he's like this nice, happy God. No, Jesus is the revelation of God. He is God in the flesh. And so the ideas that we've had characterized and shapen as they were through our own fallenness misrepresented who God was to us. Because when God was revealed in the flesh, he showed us who he really is. And so Christ came and he was God in the flesh, but he was literally in the flesh. John says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the glory of the only begotten Son of God. When he came, he humbled himself, Philippians 2 says, and became a man. He wasn't any longer operating within the realms of his divinity. Now, he didn't cease to be God, but he was not operating on the basis of his divinity. Instead, he operated on the basis of his humanity as yoked and unified with God by the Holy Ghost. Because when he was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him in the form of a dove, and he rested upon him, and he stayed upon him. And he was anointed with the Holy Ghost to preach the gospel to the poor and delivering of the captives, and all this anointing was on him. And he lived his life in the flesh as a man filled with the Holy Ghost. He never ceased to be God. Don't misunderstand me. But he did not depend upon his deity to make things easier for him. When he was in the wilderness and he was tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights, he never once leaned on his deity to make things easy for him. He endured the temptation as a man. The Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And he overcame the devil the same way that we're to overcome, through the word of God and by the Spirit of God. And so he won the victory. He condemned sin in the flesh by living a life of perfect obedience and holiness and purity his whole life. He never sinned. There was never even the hint or shade of sin upon his life. Never, ever. And then he went to the cross. Now you know as well as I do, the wages of sin is death. And the fact is very clear throughout the whole Bible. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. God told them in the garden, the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. And so there's death appointed to every man, for all have sinned. But Christ never sinned. He never sinned once. And he said, no man takes my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. When he came to the cross, and maybe this is just my conjecture, maybe this is just an opinion I have, so I'm not, you could take it or leave it. But I feel like the enemy, the scripture says in John that this is the power, this is the hour of darkness. This is the hour for the prince of darkness, that he is going to have his way. He says that the devil comes and he finds nothing in me, has nothing in me. But this is his hour. The hour that Jesus was betrayed, the hour that Jesus was arrested, the hour that Jesus was condemned, and ultimately the hour that Jesus was crucified. And I believe that the enemy thought he had him just where he wanted him. I believe the enemy thought, I am finally going to win. He said, I destroyed Adam and all of the human race. And I have tempted Jesus, and he's never failed, but now I get to destroy him. Now I am going to kill him, and I'll be rid of him once and for all. But the joke was on him. The fact of the matter is, and it's no joke, but the fact of the matter is, he was deceived by his own corrupt, reprobate blindness. And he didn't realize the very thing that he thought was his victory, that he was going to destroy the Son of God once and for all, actually was his own destruction. Because Christ, the Bible says that death could not hold him. Because he died a death he did not deserve. Now he took upon him the sin of the whole world. And maybe he couldn't have died any other way. I don't know. But he laid his life down willingly for you and for me. He took upon him on that cross our sin. We died that day with him on that cross. He bore the weight. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? I mean, it's something we can, I don't know if we can even barely imagine. The spotless, sinless Son of God who had lived in eternal union with the Father. Never once was there a break in their relationship. There was always perfect harmony and unity. He was perfectly pure and innocent as any newborn babe, but even really infinitely more so. He had never sinned, and yet to be stained and to bear the burden and the weight and the condemnation and the shame of every sin of every man and every woman and every child ever born from Adam all the way down through the end of the world. He bore that on that cross. And then when he died that death, he took all that sin upon him to the grave. And he was buried in that grave, and all that sin was buried with him. The just recompense, the just punishment for the sins of the world was laid on Jesus, and he took it to that grave. But then 3 days later, he rose. 3 days later, he came up out of that grave, and he began in that instant the new creation. So we have to understand that this was always God's plan. That God always intended for there to be this ultimate time of restoration, the new heavens and the new earth, the new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God's intention was for us to be a part of this resurrection creation, this new life, this new created order. Now, before Christ died, the whole world, and even after, in some regards, I want to clarify that in a minute, but before Christ died, I feel like this whole world was under demonic bondage. Every culture, except for the Israelites, except for those who had heard the promise of Abraham, except for those who had believed the covenant, except for those who had maintained a relationship and called upon the name of the Lord, and there were those, I think about Jethro and Melchizedek and others that were outside of Israel. But by and large, the whole world worshiped devils. Do you understand that? Every other country, I mean, Paul says, the things that the Gentiles offer, they offer unto devils. Every other false religion, every other worship than the true and living God is really demonism. It's really sorcery, witchcraft, idolatry. It's worshiping of devils. And the reason why is because the whole world lieth in wickedness. When Adam and Eve betrayed humanity by submitting themselves to the devil, they gave up the dominion and the blessing and the calling that God had placed on humanity in the garden, and they relinquished their rights over to the devil, and the devil took it and ran. The usurper took over the whole world, and the whole world worshiped the devil because they were in fear of death. And they were constantly afraid of all these powers. I mean, if you go to Africa today, you see these people, they call them animists. They're the Africans in the bush. They worship the spirits in the air and the wind and the trees. And, there's spirits everywhere because they live in constant fear of this superstitious power of these demons. Now, we live on the other side of the resurrection. We have seen what this says in verse 22. He's gone into heaven. He's on the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers have been made subject to him. We no longer live like that. But prior to this, the whole world lived like that. Even in Israel, there was demonic manifestation. You read through the Gospels, all through the Gospels. And there's all these people, demon possessed, and they come to Jesus and they say, "We know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. Have you come before the time to torment us? You know, what are you doing here?" And they bowed down and they cried out. They recognized him in his deity. But this right here says that after the resurrection, he was gone into heaven. He was seated on the right hand of God, and angels, authorities, and powers were made subject to him. Now, there's something here I want you to understand for us. They were already subject to him as God the Son. That was proof positive when he was on the earth. They saw him. They fell at his feet. They cried out. They knew they couldn't do anything. But now the victory has been won for the new creation. Now, when the resurrection has taken place and he's been seated at the right hand of God, far above all principalities and powers and every name that is named in this world and in the world to come, when he is there, now that victory has been passed on to humanity through Jesus Christ. Do you understand that they were subject to him already, but they weren't subject to us? But now, because he has gone there as a man, and see, I didn't finish that thought, I guess, earlier, but as he lived his life here on this earth as a man, he died as a man, he rose as a man, and yet God. Do you understand that in Christ, in the person of Jesus Christ, divinity and humanity are brought together in union? And it's through that that you, human, can now be united to the divine. It's through Jesus Christ himself that we are brought into communion and fellowship and union. We're grafted into him and we're brought into the very person of God, if you will. We are brought into a union with God that is utterly impossible any other way. It's only through Christ that we get to the Father. So you see, when Jesus overcame, the victory was won. Now you say, well, there's people still demon-possessed. Paul said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness and heavenly places or high places." And, there's still a battle going on. Didn't God promise the children of Israel the land of Canaan? It was the land of their inheritance. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. It was theirs for the taking, but they had to go in. They had to believe the message. They had to fight some battles, and then they won their inheritance. Jesus has won the inheritance for us. The devils are still in rebellion. They're still trying to fight because the Lord has gone to heaven and they feel like they've got a little reprieve. They got a short time. They're trying to do what they can. But you need to know, child of God, that they're a defeated foe. You need to know angels, authorities, and powers have been made subject to him. And through that, they are subject to you and to I. We have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He has overcome death, hell, and the grave. He has defeated sin, Satan, and hell. And we now have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to understand this. When he ascended to heaven, let me say this. He literally, bodily, physically ascended to heaven. There are those these days that say, well, you know, heaven's just a different dimension, and, you know, it's just the way it's worded there was for the archaic mind to understand. No, he literally ascended to heaven. The Bible makes it clear, and you may differ, but the Bible makes it clear that when he died, he descended into the lower parts of the earth. And then when he rose, he ascended into heaven. Heaven is up there. Okay? I make no apologies for that. I don't care what rationalists say. But the Bible teaches that. Now, when he ascended to heaven, God set him at his own right hand. It says right here, verse 22, is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God. By the way, this is how we know we go to heaven when we die. Because Christ is there, and Christ said, I will that they be where I am, that they see me, that they be with me where I am. Where is he? He is in heaven. So when we die, our spirits are called up to meet him in heaven, and we live with him until he comes back, until the resurrection of the body. But understand this, he's gone into heaven, and he's set on the right hand of God. Now, the right hand of God is a place of authority. It's a position. You remember how the mother of who is it, James and John, came to Jesus, and they said, can one of them sit in your right hand and your left? And he said, you don't know what you're asking. It's not for me to give. And the fact of the matter is, God ordained that Christ, the Son, sit on his own right hand. That's the highest position of power under the highest position of power. It's kind of like, I think about Joseph in Egypt and Daniel in Babylon. They were exalted to a place of authority where everybody was subject to them except the ultimate authority. And in this case, it's God the Father. In 1 Corinthians 15, where the Bible talks about the resurrection and the end that's coming. Let me turn over here real quick. It says, I'll start in verse 21. Well, verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Do you understand that? That man brought sin into the world and death as a result, and now God, through man, has brought resurrection into the world. And he says, verse 21, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. Now all that's already been made subject to him. But these rebellious demonic powers still resist his authority. Christ is the king. The kingdom of God has come, and Christ is the king over all the earth. And yet the rebellious human powers are still in rebellion against him too. When he returns the second time, he's going to put down all that rebellion. And he's going to establish his rule with a rod of iron, because people now have an opportunity for grace. Now they have an opportunity to repent. Now, not the demonic world, but the natural world. But he says that he will put down all rule and authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he, that is God the Father, is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So the point I'm trying to make, and I'm out of time, but let me make this one last statement. When Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, He not only accomplished eternal redemption for us, forgiveness for our sins, but he began the new creation. He is the firstborn of every creature. He began that is taking place from this point for all eternity, because he has defeated the powers of the devil. He was manifested to destroy the works of the devil, and he came to destroy his power so that those who were subject to the fear of death could be set free from their bondage, Hebrews tells us. So now we are free from those powers. They've been made subject to Jesus Christ through his resurrection, and now we have the victory. And I'm sorry, I only have 30 minutes to try to tell you all that, but I would sure like to take about an hour and a half and really get into that. But know this morning, Jesus is risen. He has risen indeed. Amen.